Good morning, ladies. Happy Monday. I hope you guys are doing well. Chrissy, it is a Monday morning of getting your kids back to school. How are you feeling today?
Oh my God, happy as a clam. I have freed. I'm free for the first time in 3 months. Like, this is beautiful. They looked super cute. They went. We're good. I made them all get up a half an hour earlier than normal so that we weren't like frantic. But they're good. They're all there. Everybody had what they needed. They ate. They were dressed. We are A-okay. And I don't even know how to function because I can work like without constant distractions now for a whole week. I will be so productive. I will do more stuff this week than I did all summer. And I tried.
You're so more productive now.
But it's hard to try to manage everything. It's crazy. But they did good. I'm so happy. They're excited. I mean, I think they were starting to get bored. They missed their friends. Mine do good with routine. A lot of people, you know, say it's chaotic. But if my kids have a routine, they do very well. So I'm glad that they're there, to be honest.
I agree. Summertime's hard for kids. I think, you know, like they are so, you know, accustomed to that routine that when it goes away, it's hard for them. I think it's hard for them to like adjust to no routine, and then they have to go back to a routine and they have to adjust again.
I used to try when I was a stay-at-home mom to keep them on their routines in the summer, like still the same bedtime, still the same wake-up times, meal times, all of that stuff. But once you start working, it's like, it's chaos because even it's a different babysitter every day. Like, you know, they're wanting to do with their friends, especially now that they're older. So that part is hard getting them, but they do well during the school year. Like even showering and putting their clothes away and stuff is hard for them in the summer. Cause during the school year, like they know if I put laundry on their bed, like when they come in from school, they have to put their laundry away. And they know like before they get into their bed at night, they have to have had a shower. They have to have their clothes laid out. You know, they have to bring me down their dirty laundry so that they have clothes to wear. But in the summer, it's kind of just mass chaos because they don't care what they wear. They don't have to shower before bed necessarily. And sometimes I would like wonder if the boys got like enough. I have an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old little boy. I wonder if they got like enough showers over the summer, because if you don't tell them to, I don't know that they do.
Oh, my grandson's 13. And I'd be like, has he showered? I'll ask my daughter, I'm like, when's the last time he showered? And she'll be like, I honestly don't know if he has. And if he did, if the water even did anything. Like,
did they use soap is always the question. Did you use soap? But they like the neighbors, and then like another, like two of our close friends that live near us have nice pools and they go swimming and then they'll count that as like a bath. But I kissed one on the head like a week ago and I was like, bro, when's the last time you took a shower? Because your head smells like a locker room. And he was like, I don't even remember. And I was like, oh, for goodness sake, go take a shower. Yeah. But they have a bathroom attached to their room. There's like no excuse to like not take a shower. I don't know. But so I'm glad that they're back in their routine. I dropped the ball a little bit. Like the girls didn't even have first day outfits. So like last night at 8 p.m. we're at Kohl's, we're at Target buying lunchbox stuff. They ate frozen pizza and cucumber slices for dinner last night because that was like the best I could do while trying to do everything else. But we made it.
Hey, and that's okay.
We made it. The little three are riding the bus for the first time ever. So I have a second grader, third grader, fourth grader. I've been taking all my kids their whole life to and from school. And they rode the bus today so that I can give myself more working hours without being interrupted. Because I am going to try to not work in the evenings late through the school year so I can actually see them. Because during the summer, I was working like the, poor Tracy, working the weirdest hours, trying to, you know, be everywhere. So I'm going to try to work like a normal, you know, 7:30 to 4 schedule during the school year so that I can be with them in the evenings. We'll see how that works. I know. We'll see how that works, but that's like where we're at now. So, but it did go well.
Were they excited to ride the bus? Were they excited to ride the bus?
Yes. So one of my girlfriends lives around the corner from me and she has a younger daughter that is going into first grade. And Alex, my third grader, loves her and wanted to ride with her on the bus. So she said, okay, like I want to go so I can ride with Ren on the bus. So it's helpful. They pick up in my driveway. And I would leave at 7:30 to take them to school, and the bus comes at 7:20. So it's not like we're having to get up ungodly early to get them out the door.
Yeah.
My middle schooler, though, is like a brat and won't ride the bus, so I still had to take her. But the little three rode the bus, and that gives me an extra hour in the afternoon.
That's wonderful.
So I know. So fingers crossed it goes smooth. It went smooth already. They look really cute. Maybe I'll send Christina a picture, and she can put it up with the podcast of them on their first day, because they look really cute.
What did you do? Can I ask what last night looked like, trying to get everybody the excitement of the first day?
They were like naturally just, my oldest was nervous, the one that's going into eighth grade. She was nervous and she was not ready. Like the other ones, when we got their book bags and we got the school supplies, they like packed them ahead of time and stuff, where she was doing that like last night at 8:30. Like she was not excited. They were excited. I struggled getting them to go to bed because they wanted to stay up. I had to like pull the cord to the Wi-Fi router, like not meanly, just because like I kept saying nicely, like time for bed, time for bed. And they would go like sneak into each other's rooms and they were like playing the PlayStation. One was on an iPad. I'm like, you guys have to go to bed. Like, I don't know that you realize how early 5:45 is.
Oh gosh, that's early. Yeah.
So that was all, like, just trying to get him to go to bed. The one that's going into second grade wanted to take so many snacks. I had to limit, like, what was in his book bag, because he probably had 10 snacks in there. Three out of the four pack lunches, even though we have free lunch in our school district. Like, every kid gets free lunch, but only one buys lunch. Normally I'm way ahead of the game. They have their first day outfits picked out way ahead. They have lunch money in their accounts way ahead. The snacks are bought way ahead. That was not the case this year.
And that is okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it did work out okay. It did work out okay. Everything's still out on my counter though. I have like a bought boxes of all the like different snacks. My question, this has nothing to do with back to school, is why they make, oh, I dropped my phone. Sorry guys. Why they make the packaging so large for things. Like 10 packs of sugar cookies don't need to be in a box like the size of my head. They could be in like a half that space for storage purposes. So that, if anyone is paying attention that has any power in that, shrink down your packaging, because that's nuts. I have four kids, a lot of snacks to be stored somewhere.
Right.
I'm trying to think of whenever, when they come home after that first day, that first week, like they're so tired. You find they true, like they're exhausted when they come home.
I don't know what I was going to do about that. I was thinking about that right now. Like, should I have food ready for them? Because they all are multi-sport athletes. So we have practices every single night, pretty much. Like, Mondays aren't bad because it's just football. But Tuesdays, there's football and cheer. Wednesday is middle school football games. So that's another thing too, is do you guys, you're both seasoned vets here, have any tips and tricks for those evenings? Like, what did you do about dinner? Did you make them ahead? Did you crock pot? Like, what can I do to make stuff run smoother?
Made it ahead.
Yeah, definitely planning ahead and not being too hard on yourself if it's like a trip through the drive-through. At the end of the day, they just need to eat. If you have the time and you can plan making something in the crock pot or salads and sandwiches, something really quick. It don't take too long to eat. Don't take too long to, you know, heat up or anything. And we were pretty close to our ball field. So like we didn't have to travel very far. So we did have like a decent amount of time to get a meal in before practice. And then of course, after practice, they're starving. They like did so much, you know. So then they need something else.
Yes, Tracy and I have talked about that before, first and second dinner, because they will want something, right? Because they're starving after school And then they'll be hungry again at 8 o'clock. So that's hard. We're not super far from stuff, but it's the amounts of practices. Like tomorrow night, there's football practice 6 to 8, and then Alex has cheer 7:30 to 9. So like that part makes it hard because who wants to like cook dinner at 9 o'clock? During the summer, it was fine. I would just come in at 9 o'clock and make chicken and potatoes or whatever. But during the school year, I want them in bed by 10 because they have to get up at 5:45, and they're still pretty little. You know what I mean? Like Grayson to me still looks like a baby.
Well, too, I think it's school lunches. I mean, lunches at school are really early. I mean, it's like breakfast time and it's their lunch. And so that's a long time to go by the time they get out and come home. They are probably really hungry. It's almost their dinner time by the time they get home because they've had lunch at 10 a.m. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you eat breakfast at 7 a.m. and your lunch is at 10:30, by 4 o'clock, right, you're hungry again. You're not my school district, but another neighboring school district, Trinity School District. The eighth graders eat lunch at 10:30 in the morning. Like, if that was my eighth grader, she would be dying by the time she got home at 3:30.
Definitely need snacks to get in between.
And the portion sizes in, like, the school lunches aren't big enough for most kids, I don't think. Like, 4 chicken nuggets for a 14-year-old is, like, not enough food.
No, it's like an appetizer to a 14-year-old.
I mean, she eats a lot. She's, you know, super muscular because she does, you know, 2 different types of cheer. But she, that is not enough for her at all. But that's why she packs a lunch. So she packs, you know, a pretty decent sized lunch.
We, out of 4 kids, 2 of them, I could not ever give them enough food. Like they were going to be hungry no matter what. Like they'd eat dinner and then like a snack right after. Like there was, and those 2, they just could eat anything and they just needed more.
Your girls or your boys?
A girl and a boy.
A girl and a boy. Okay, I was going to say I have a girl and a boy eater in my house.
Yeah. I mean, they get done eating and like, what are we having next? You know, and the other kids are looking at him like, oh, I'm so full. And they're like, no, what's next?
Yep. Can I have ice cream? Can I be jelly? Can I eat pretzels? Can I do whatever? I have my my 14-year-old eating cucumbers, and I will make ranch dip but using Greek yogurt instead of sour cream because of the protein content, like in the Greek yogurt. And I think that that is helpful. She's been eating that like as a snack. So it's healthy-ish versus, you know, chips or something. So I'm hoping that, and I've been trying to teach her that like protein makes you fuller. So like eat cottage cheese, eat the Greek yogurt, eat, you know, meat and cheese, like stay away from the carbs because you crash quicker and you're hungrier faster if you fill up on like heavy protein. So that I think is, hopefully she's listening to what I'm saying, which she may not be. I don't know, but
she's with that age to start thinking about what she's putting into her body, how full it's making her. I think she's a perfect age to having that conversation and start teaching her that for sure.
Yeah, just the fuel yourself. She has ADHD. She's on the Adderall. Sometimes the Adderall makes her not hungry, but then when she crashes from it, she is starving. And what she wants is like sugar and junk when the Adderall crash happens. So I'm trying to teach her to like, I had to learn this myself. I eat this way. Like you have to eat protein, even if you're not hungry with the Adderall, so that when the crash comes, you don't eat a bunch of junk.
Yeah. Even if you have like a spoonful of peanut butter and nothing else,
just
rely on a spoonful of peanut butter, but it can, because of the protein, it can help keep you full.
Yes.
I think our kids also want that instant gratification, something very fast and easy. So if we try to teach them, you know, easy meals that are still high in protein that they can have easily, readily available, that they can, you know, maybe make ahead of time, that are easy, is also a really good tip, because I know my daughter is the same way. Something easy and fast, but still good for you.
Yes. The junk, like she would just eat so much junk. And it, I know from my own self with the ADHD, like you have to properly fuel your brain. The medicine can only take you so far. Like, if you are not properly, you guys have all seen me, like, unmedicated, eating garbage, and versus, like, on a normal day, you know, the difference is pretty significant. So I'm trying to teach her that now, because it took me 25 years to figure it out, I think, 30 years to figure it out.
And there's so many good recipes out there right now, especially like you said with that cottage cheese, you blend it and you put it in, and you get so many good recipes out there right now.
Yeah, if you can hide Greek yogurt or cottage cheese in anything, I feel like that adds like some protein and not a whole lot of calories into whatever that you're eating.
Is there any other tips, Chrissy, that you could tell our listeners as, you know, our kids are going back to school for the mornings or afternoons?
Well, I'm a little bit of a micromanager, so I have learned that I have to step back. I have to let them do their own thing. Like, my oldest, we fought about clothes yesterday for like an hour, and my husband's like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. Because I was like, don't wear leggings and a t-shirt on your first day of school. Like, you know, dress nice. Frank's like, does it matter? Actually, it doesn't matter. And she looked neat and it was fine. As long as they're clean, like, you don't have to dress them like out of a catalog. It's all right.
Absolutely. And when you get to this time of the year, they're still wanting to wear their summer clothes, shorts, things like that. And the temperature was a little cooler today, but we're still going to have hot days. So I think it's always good not to dress them too much, too formally, where they're hot and sweaty and all that kind of stuff. And definitely, I will tell you, after four kids, you got to pick your battles. Like, if it really does not matter, it don't matter. Like, save yourself the headache of arguing about something that's like, no, they can have their way on this. Or at least think they got their way.
Want to wear leggings and a t-shirt, go ahead, wear your leggings and t-shirt, it's fine.
First day of school is always that picture perfect catalog, and then the second day it's like, whatever, wear whatever you want.
Yeah. I feel like first day today I gave up. I was like, you want to wear that, go right ahead, I don't care. I have to like, you know, remind myself like some of this stuff really doesn't matter. Yeah. And don't like too hard on yourself as a parent, because we can only do what we can do. Like, we're humans too. And we're burned out and we're tired from the summer. And like you said earlier, a drive-through is fine. If they're fed and they're clean, that's all that matters. Now, I am worried about homework a little bit, because my second grader, I love this teacher. She's wonderful. But she does give like old school amounts of homework. A lot of teachers have stepped away from that. So I'm not so worried about my other ones. But, and that's my squirrely one that just doesn't like the book stuff. He wants to be outside throwing the football. He wants to be riding his dirt bike. He wants to be, you know, rough and tumble. Making him sit at the dining room table after sitting all day is going to be a little bit hard for me and him, I think.
I wonder, do you have the opportunity to have like a chalkboard or something outside where you could, for a little while the weather's still nice, do some of the homework outside so he feels like he's out there, and, you know, maybe he can stand while yins are doing it. Something like that where he don't feel like I'm made to sit in this chair in the house. You know, maybe he could sit on the porch or something and, like, you know, make it exciting or different than it normally is. Like, he could stand up to, you know, an outside table and be able to rock and move. Maybe that would help a little bit. And
that's a really good idea, Melissa. Thank you. That we do. We have a table on the deck, table and chairs, and we have like rocking chairs and a fire pit in the front. So he could actually, the fire pit like closes with a lid. So he could sit in either place outside for a little bit and maybe do like 5 minutes of homework, 5 minutes of running around, 5 minutes of homework, 5 minutes of running around. Something to try. I'm just that is probably my biggest worry right now, is the getting that little one to do his homework. And he will need the extra practice. It's not that. And I'm not dogging on the teacher at all. Everybody does stuff differently. He's just one that doesn't, when he's done, he's done.
Well, it might help to make it less of a battle if you maybe change how you've done it in the past. And even asking him, would this be a good place? What do you think about doing it out here? You know, that might spark something and be like, yeah, we'll do something different. But I would also think about, after the first week or so, looking at how long does homework actually take. If it is this huge battle with him and it's taking you 2 or 3 hours to do homework, that's not sustainable. That's not fair to him or you. I wouldn't be afraid to go back to the teacher and say, he's just not going to be able to do this amount of homework, and talk with her about how long it's taking, if it's taking a ridiculous amount of time, because we got to keep in mind, they've already spent 7 to 8 hours in school. They've already put in like a full day of work, and then we're asking them to come home and do 3 hours. So as long as it's a reasonable amount of time and you try different things and, you know, try to get it done, but I would definitely keep an eye on how long it's taking, because they should not have 3 hours of homework when they come home, you know, but some of our kids struggle, and the sitting still and all that kind of stuff can be really difficult.
Absolutely.
And that's not the only thing you have to do. The other children have to homework, and you have showers and laundry and dinner and work and house and pets and all that stuff too. I'm not a fan of homework. I think there is a certain amount that they need, but I think it can get to be too much, and it's bigger than what it should be. So
we've been very, like, with the elementary school that we're in, the teachers are wonderful. And I know his teacher, if I went to her and said, like, this is just too much for him, she would accommodate. She's very, very nice. She's a wonderful teacher. It's just, she's a little old school. She does things in a way that, like, younger teachers have moved away from, but she would be very cool with whatever we needed, but we're going to just see how it goes. Well, I'll give it a couple. And he is one that needs the extra reinforcement at home anyway. I just, with the sports and stuff through the winter, it should be okay. But this time of year with, you know, fall ball, baseball, football, cheer, all at the same time, the evenings are tough.
Yeah.
And my husband swings shifts, so we can't really always depend on him to be part of the equation, because every 3 weeks he's on afternoon and he's not. So
see if there's any other things that you can put around, you know, where he's sitting. I know that they have bands around like the chairs, and they have things that you could put on the seat, you know, like these cushions and things. I know that when Brianna was in elementary school, there was like things that they could put around the band of the chair so that they could push their foot against it. Kind of like an activity that they could keep their feet moving. You know what I mean? And then there was some kind of seat that they could sit on. I don't know if you could still get those out at a store or not, but I can try to look into it and see where you can find them. It's just kind of like something that like an OT would give to the school and stuff like that. But it keeps them busy.
Yeah, they're called like wiggle seats or something.
Yeah, something like that, you know, so that it keeps them occupied. And I know that my husband, it was always like, never like, you can't listen to music, you can't do this. But I'm like, it keeps their mind occupied on stuff. And it's different for different kids. And so Brianna would always do very well with trying to listen to music while she was doing homework. You know, what works well for your child, right? And I agree with you, Melissa, like how much time does it take him to do homework? If it's taking you at a very long time, and it's becoming where they're getting stressed out, it's time to stop. You know, I mean, where I remember Brianna getting overworked and overwhelmed, and it would become where she would get to be in tears, where I'd be like, she is not able to do this. This is too much. By the time she gets home, she's hitting the floor and she's already exhausted. You know what I mean? We're not going to add to it for another hour of math and another hour of reading and things like that. That's just too much for that age. You know what I mean?
And I think it's a good opportunity to like set a timer. We're going to work on math for 10 minutes. Go run around. And
exactly.
I know it might sound silly, but I used to have my daughter, she would be allowed to literally go outside and run around the perimeter of the house and come back in. And it was just something she needed to do to like blow off some steam. She got all this energy built up. And then she went to school and told her teacher to run around outside.
Hey, whatever works though, like honestly, most of like my age group that are teachers now would be fine with whatever works, because it's just a different time. Like, you do whatever you need to do to get stuff. But my little one, that would be good for him. I'm also a little worried about my oldest, because once they're in middle school, it's harder to keep track of like what they need to be doing. And with her ADHD, it's hard for her to remember like projects are due, large papers are due, things like that. She's not great at like blocking her time. So I'm worried. 8th grade, you know, things are getting a little bit tougher. And apparently I didn't go to this school. I don't know these teachers, but apparently the teacher that she has for ELA is very, very tough. A friend of mine's a para up there, and she was like, if you need any help with this teacher, you have to let me know. And I was like, oh God, is it that bad? So I have some anxiety there too. Like, how do we handle that? Like,
my grandson's starting tomorrow, and his first period is Spanish. And last year he struggled immensely with school avoidance. Like, he just struggled with just attendance and wanting to go to school. He didn't like school, you know, where his sister was reading 3 books at a time and just absolutely loves school. And I said, and your first period is Spanish. And he's like, why do I have to learn Spanish? Is there another language that I can learn? You know? And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think they're offering another language, you know? And I said, you are going to go to school this year and you're going to learn Spanish. So, you know, and his mom starts saying certain words and stuff. And he's like, what's that? What's that mean? And I'm like, you're about to learn.
Yeah. Middle school is a tough bag, because I almost feel like, you know, you're in this little microcosm in this little tiny elementary school, and you know all the teachers and you know what's going on, because you can get on their one Google Classroom and see exactly what they're working on every week. And then middle school, you know, they're in a different class.
Yes.
Every period, they, you know, one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, so they could have 3 big projects due on the same day and nobody would ever, you know, be none the wiser. And it's much, much different, and it's hard. I want her to have her own independence, but I also don't want to see her fail. So it's hard to find that boundary of like, mom can help you to this point, but not after. And I don't want to micromanage her. So I'm struggling a little bit with that as well. I'm sure I'm not alone in that, but it's tough.
It is. And there seems to be, what happens from elementary school to middle school is there's less contact with the parent, unless you push your way in there and, I would say, micromanage in a different way, where she feels her independence, but then we're also giving her a new responsibility that she has to start keeping track of things that maybe she didn't keep track of before, or it wasn't even her responsibility, where now they want to put a huge amount of responsibility on them, so they're more ready to go to high school. So this whole year is going to be teaching her new responsibilities, and that things are up to her. Do they have a way for you to, like, for even herself to log in and see like notes from teachers or things that are due?
They all have their own Google Classroom. Yeah. So like, class has, but not everything is posted. We ran into that last year, because I was logged into her Google Classrooms just so I could keep up, because sometimes she does struggle. She'll do the work, but sometimes she like forgets. And even with systems in place and things like that, we sometimes miss things. So I would keep up just to make sure we didn't miss anything super important. But they don't always post everything. So that part is hard. And I don't want to be like that annoying parent that's like emailing the math teacher every day, like, can you send me the assignments? Can you send me the assignments? But I also, she gets behind easily. She's young for her grade. She started as a fresh 5. She's a July birthday. And she has ADHD. She has slower processing speed. Sometimes school's just not easy for her. She wants to go to Votech. And I keep using that as a, you know, motivating factor, like, you know, we just got 2 more school years and then you can go to hair. She wants to be a cosmetologist. You can go to hair school. Like, we're almost there. We just got to, you have to keep, you know, above a 3.25 so that you can get into the program. And then you know, you only have to be at school for half the day and then you'll be doing hair the other half the day. So we're using that as a motivating factor. Now get through eighth grade, get through ninth grade, and then you can start the cosmetology program.
I wouldn't worry too much about feeling like you're being a pushy parent. I would keep an eye on her, do like a check-in at the beginning of the week or the end of the week, and just see, even if you're contacting teachers, like, hey, I'm just trying to make sure she doesn't fall behind. Has all her assignments been turned in? Are we missing anything? And sometimes if we do that for the first couple weeks, then we can see, are they falling behind? Are they able to do the things that are required of them? But then we don't want to wait till that 6 weeks and a report card comes out. And then you're like, oh, you have 15 missing assignments and you didn't do this and didn't do that. And I'm just, my personality is, I was okay with being a pushy parent because I feel like that's sometimes what you had to do at the time, just to stay on top of things. But if you want to like schedule a check-in where you just send out to all her teachers the same email, one email goes out to all of them, just checking in, can you let me know if there's something missing, you know, and just tell them you don't want to, you're not trying to be pushy, but you also don't want to wait 6 weeks to find out she's struggling with something.
Yes. So they took her 504 plan away last year. And then I fought to get it back. So she does have that back again this year. Because she made National Junior Honor Society, like, as a sixth grader. And so they just decided, with very little accommodations. I mean, she didn't use them in sixth grade. So then seventh grade, they took them away, where she could have really used some of them in seventh grade. So now she has them back again for eighth grade. Which is also kind of tough. I wish they wouldn't have done that. She should have just been allowed to keep it.
Absolutely. And each year is different. So I always tell parents, like, an IEP and a 504 plan, they're like a living, breathing thing. Every school year, or even halfway through a school year, you could need to revise it and look at it, because your child's growing, they're getting more responsibilities, they're learning things they never learned before. There is a huge possibility that they have a need that was not present last year. So I think it's always good to review things each year and give yourself a little bit of time into the school year and see, is she struggling with something? Could something be better? And don't ever be afraid to, like, go back to the school and say, we need supports that we don't have, you know.
Chrissy, I think it's also a really good idea to start helping her to create those reminders in her phone, as to check-ins, you know, set a reminder to follow up on math homework, follow up to check in on Google Classroom, you know, because I know that that's something that Christina has always said, you know, to do, like, to help even, you know, with my daughter. She's 19. She just turned 19 yesterday. You know, and here she is. We have these tools in our phones, in our hands, and we've got to help our kids now to understand the power that we have in those phones. You know what I mean? Set those calendars, write notes in there that prompt them, you know, hey, this is due. Okay, can you put that in your calendar, you know, in your phone right now? Set a reminder so that you know that you have to have a due date on that. Set it maybe a day earlier. Hey, you've got something due tomorrow, so that it alerts you, oh, you have to do that, or you have to, you know, remind yourself that you have to turn that in. Do something like that so that it will help her to remind herself that she's got to maybe check in on doing those things too.
Yeah, I use all of those phone tools myself. So yeah. They see it in action, because I set alarms for everything, reminders for everything. Or
exactly.
Whatever makes your life easier.
Exactly. But teach them now when you're younger, you know?
Yeah. Heck yeah. I learned a lot through the years, and I try to teach them. You know, I didn't have a parent with any type of, like, diagnosed neurodivergence. Now that I'm an adult, I know that, you know, a lot of this stuff is genetically ingrained in us. But I myself am very outward with the things that I struggle with, and try to help them not struggle with the same things. So hopefully we're breaking down, you know, some of these like cycles, but that's about all I have on the first day here. I'm glad they're in school though. I'm not going to lie.
That's right. Well, I think that you gave a lot of good tips. I really do, you know, and I think that, you know, one thing is that, you know, I think that as the kids are going back to school, you know, it's kind of like feeling this weight on your shoulders kind of easing up. You know, I feel like for the last couple of months, it's just been very stressful. I think that we've heard that from so many parents that you guys have worked with, that I've read and I've heard from your stories, that people are just overwhelmed. And in the world right now, we're just all overwhelmed and stressed. And so, you know, to relieve that stress, to have our kids go back to school, to help that out, you know, is just one more thing off of your plate. So, you know, that's a good thing for you, Chrissy.
I'm very happy. And it is relatability. I mean, I think my parents that I work with like the fact that I'm in the trenches with them. Like, yeah. Complaining, I'd be like, girl, listen, I had the same thing happen last week. Like, you know, this or that. And I think that that is helpful. So if anyone else is struggling and they need a listening ear, you two have been in the trenches in the past. You are on the upside of it, but you're seasoned vets and you have a lot of good tips and tricks. If you call me, I am in the trenches with you, and I might not have the best, you know, advice, but I will give you, I will validate your feelings and I will help you try to navigate it too. So reach out.
We're
all here with you. If you need anything, reach out. Somebody will help you.
Yes. Ladies, thank you so much. As our kids are going back to school, you know, we are with you, and we hope that they have a great new year. And thank you, ladies. I hope that you have a nice day and have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later,
guys. Bye.